I want to tell you all a story about living in Mexico. When I was 20, I went to Earlham College, a little Quaker school out in Indiana, and I went on the Mexico program when I was in my sophomore year, and I fell in love with Mexico. The people just have a calor, they say, like a warmth. And I fell in love with these people. And so I came back, and I went to school and so on. I enrolled in the main university in Mexico City and went back. And when I was moving back to Mexico that second time, I was so excited about my new apartment, my first apartment by myself. I was 20. That I moved from the hostel I was staying in to this apartment in a taxi at about 10 o'clock at night. I took my stuff, my guitar, my clothes, everything I had, and out onto the street in Mexico City and hailed a taxi. And I got a little, you know, Volkswagen Bug, green and white, you know, like classic Mexico City, stopped, and I got in, and I loaded my guitar and all my stuff, my, you know, 100 bags into this tiny car, and closed the door, and we started driving away. And about, I don't know, 5 minutes in, he started to say things like, so, what do you think of Mexican men? Well, bueno, I mean, you know, I have a boyfriend, I don't know. Well, how are you going to pay for this ride? And he started doing things I don't want to repeat in the front of the car. And running lights, running red lights, running through them and just like racing through town. I was 20. I had no idea where I was. I knew I was in Mexico City, but I didn't know where I was. And luckily for me, we came to a light where there was a car parked in every, stopped in every lane already. So we couldn't run it without killing us. So we had to stop. And he pulled up, and I just instinctively, like, rammed out the car door and started pulling my stuff out of the car. Like, my guitar. I was really worried about my guitar. I was not worried about really anything else, but I started pulling things out of the car and banging on the window of the car next to me. Boom, 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 you know. Ayúdame, 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 help me, you know. And this guy in this very nice car next to us opens it up like a little crack and says, like, sí, ¿qué onda? You know, what's happening? And I said, this guy's trying to hurt me, and I'm, like, weeping and talking. And the guy gets out, and I managed to get all of my things out of this Volkswagen Bug. I'm standing in the middle of the street in Mexico City at 10:30 at night, and this guy says, oh, okay, listen, I am, I'm an official with the Mexican government, and you know, I'm standing there weeping. He says, what I really want you to know is that Mexico isn't really like this. Like, it's like an immediate PR campaign. Right? But thanks to him, he loaded my stuff into the car. He took me to my new apartment. He made sure I got in. But after that, much like my colleagues, I could not get in a cab for years, a couple of years, because there's nothing like an experience like that to make you understand who's really in control of a car that you're in. And I'm sure you've had experiences like this in your life. So I studied at the university. I went back. I finished my degree, but I desperately wanted to come back to Mexico, but I would not do it without my own car. So I drove my own car from Annapolis, Maryland, to Mexico City. 3 days. It was a red, bright red Volkswagen Jetta. You know, when they used to be like that, very square. And in Mexico City at the time, because the pollution was so bad, they had these regulations where you could not, where you could only drive your car if it had an even number license plate at the end. You could drive on Mondays and Wednesdays, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And if you had an odd number license plate, you could drive on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I took two sets of license plates with me to Mexico and kept a screwdriver on the dashboard so that I could change my license plates when I needed to. I'm not proud of this, by the way. But what I really want to say is that, you know, it was great having a car there. I was there for years with this car. And then when I decided to move home, my long-term boyfriend, Ezequiel in Spanish, Ezequiel, and my roommate, Josh, and I packed all of our stuff into the car. And we were finally coming home. This is about 1998, something like that. And there was about, when we packed our stuff into this car after being there for several years, there was about a foot of room in the back seat for the third person, like this. And that person not only had to conform to that, but had to carry a 2-foot disco ball on their lap. I have pictures of all of us at the Tropic of Cancer passing it with the disco ball, like, in our 20s. And the guy I was dating at the time, Ezequiel, was very much a super pothead. Super smoked marijuana constantly. Again, not proud. But it took us about a day and a half to get close to the border with Texas from Mexico City. And when we got close, I mean within like 5 or 10 miles, I said, Ezequiel, you have got to get rid of the pot. We can't cross the Mexican and American border with any drugs at all, of course. I mean, you know, it's still in the... Oh, well. He had an Altoids box that I had given him that had, like, it was like half full, maybe, of marijuana. And this red Volkswagen Jetta that we were driving that was packed full of crap had no air conditioning. We were driving through the Sonoran Desert. So we had all four windows down. It was like having four hair dryers trained on you at once. And he, you know, I said, God, Esa, you've got to get rid of the pot. So he takes out his Altoid container. And we're like going probably 75 miles, don't tell my mother, but 75 miles an hour through the desert. And he takes this Altoid container and holds it. He's like, okay. Holds it out, Jessica's heard this before, holds it out the window, lets it go. And all of the marijuana becomes like pulverized and flummoxes back into the car. In this giant sort of, it was like a twister of marijuana within the car and everything we owned. It covered all of our possessions in a fine layer of pulverized marijuana, 5 miles from the American border. So we pulled over and we're like, oh, shit. But, you know, we're 22, so we're like, well, okay, I guess we'll call mom if we have problems, you know. Now that I'm 42, I recognize the fallacy in that. Or the desperate truth. Anyway, we drive up to the border, and I swear to you, my husband's in that back corner, there were 2 German shepherds about that far away from our car that started flipping out when we came close to that border crossing. I mean, they were like, oh, this is what I've lived my life for. You know? And you could see the look in the border. These kids, you know, this like 20-year-old something, 20-somethings getting out of this car and being like, oh, we've got a disco ball, you know? So they proceed to take every single thing out of this car. The German Shepherds literally are, I've never seen a dog act like this since. They took everything out of the car. They put a German Shepherd in the trunk. Like, come on, boy. Woof. They put another German Shepherd in the main cavity of this Volkswagen Jetta. They set up tables, like folding tables, next to our car to put all our stuff on. And it was like they went through it with like a knit comb, you know? It was as if we had like 27 kilos of cocaine or something instead of half an Altoids box where they're pulverized marijuana. Anyway, it's different era. So they went through the car, and at one point, it took hours, and at one point we heard the border guard saying, like, well, should we get the thing that, the machine that cuts cars in half? By the way, I told my mother this story today for the first time on the phone. And I was like, Mom, what do you think? What would you have done if I had called you and been like, my car's just been cut in half? Can you buy me a ticket? Anyway, so they went through the car, and they could not find anything. They ended up not cutting the car in half, thankfully. They put everything back into the car, and I swear to God, we all thought we were going to be in jail. We did not end up in jail. We ended up a mile later at a Taco Bell going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And we bought a, remember cassette tapes? We bought a cassette single of Feliz Navidad. This is such a quintessential 20s story, right? It had Feliz Navidad on both sides. And we put it into the cassette deck, and we listened to it for a day and a half. Literally over, and every time we heard it, it was funnier and funnier and funnier, and we made it back home. Thank you all.